It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on Newstalk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran here, live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from noon to 12:30. I come in here with my partner, Rachel Erickson, and we talk about some aspect of the law. Today, we're going to be fielding your questions, as was just said, at 636-1350, if you have a legal question. We'll be happy to answer it on the air, and if we can't, we'll direct you to some attorney who can answer your question. Today, we'll talk a little bit about divorce and family law. Rachel's now doing family law, and she's taken the last year and educated herself in the area of family law, and we're going to talk today a little bit about divorce and dissolution of marriage. Now, California is a no-fault state, so that means you don't have to have a cause to get a divorce. We're going to talk about the divorce process, how it works. We can also take your legal questions, or you can call Rachel down at our office at 544-9006. That's 544-9006. Now, Rachel, exactly what happens fundamentally in a divorce? How does it work?
Well, the first thing that happens is you have to decide that that's what you want. You can file for a divorce, you can file for a legal separation, you can file for an annulment. And most of what I'm talking about today is going to apply to dissolutions, which are divorces, dissolutions between man and wife, same-sex marriages, and dissolution of domestic partnerships. So when I say divorce or dissolution, I'm referring to all of those. Though be aware that domestic partnerships and same-sex marriages sometimes do have issues that are different from your traditional marriage. So, but most of what I'm talking about today is going to apply to all of them. So if you're looking to legally end a relationship that has been legally recognized, then you have to go through quite a process. And there's a lot of things that you can do on your own. And one of the things that I would like to be able to do in my practice is to help clients to figure out how much you can do on your own to save yourself some money, because some of these things you can do on your own. But if you, I just want to give you a caveat that if you do decide to take on your divorce on your own, just be aware that there are a ton of pitfalls and there are a ton of problems you can cause for yourself that can be more expensive to fix down the road. So if you do decide that you want to handle your divorce by yourself, I still recommend that you get an attorney on board to oversee the matter and just kind of help explain the process, make sure you don't make any mistakes, and explain where the pitfalls are. So, and that in that way, the attorney can help you when needed, and we can talk. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. We're going to talk about limited scope representation, but first, we're going to start off with what is the process. First, you decide what you want to do. Okay, let's say you're going to get a divorce. You're ending everything. You want to be done with it.
Now, we're talking about people who have legal marriages. Marriages that have been recognized by the state or some other state, and you have actually got a license. You've had a proper declaration of marriage. You have actually been legally married. There's other processes if you haven't been legally married. And I know about these. The concept of if you've been living together under some kind of quasi-contract, you can also dissolve that relationship legally, but that would be in the civil court, not in the family court.
And be aware that California is not a common law state, so there's no such thing as a common law marriage here. So you can be living together for 7 years and you're still not married. There are some states where if you live together for 7 years or whatever that state says the time period is, then you are considered to be married.
I've had people say to me, she's my common law wife.
And we say, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, she's not. That doesn't apply here in California. You can live together for years and years and years and years and years and years and never be married. So you need to, if you want to be married, you need to actually go down and get a certificate, however you want to do that. But as far as the dissolution process goes, you've made the decision, you want to end things. There are a lot of considerations that you have to take right up front. Are you going to be able to do this in a friendly manner? Are you going to be able to get along? Is this going to be highly contentious? Is there a lot of anger? Is there any hint of physical violence or emotional abuse? If there's an abusive situation, then before you start your divorce proceedings, you need to get help. And you can talk to a lawyer, you can go down to the Self-Help Access Center. Go online and look for help with abuse, but you're going to need to address that right up front if that is the case. And attorneys can help you get a restraining order. There are a lot of services that are free in the county. Lawyers will know of them. They're on the internet. Your family law facilitator can help you. So just be aware that there's a lot out there if that's the situation, but you have to address that first. And then you decide you're going to split things, you're going to be done. Deciding how contentious it is going to decide how you proceed with your divorce, because there's a lot of different ways to do it. Then the first thing you're going to do is you're going to file a petition, and it doesn't matter who files first. There's no priority preference or anything like that. So either of you can file a petition.
So one is the petitioner and one is the respondent. The respondent is the one that's responding to the petition.
Exactly. So you have to file the petition. Now, when you get the forms, there is a lot of explanation on there. You can read it. You can fill it out yourself. And you can do that. It's possible. The problem is if you don't have anybody to guide you as to what are the key points that are going to matter to you, you may fill it out incorrectly, and you can end up with some repercussions later down the road. So you have to be kind of careful about which boxes you check and why you're checking them, and you can go to an attorney for help on that. And even knowing what forms you have to fill out, because there are certain forms that you have to fill out, and you can go online, and you can try and figure it out, but by the time you figure it out, you could have, you know, given an attorney a couple hundred bucks and they could have it all done for you. So, you know, you have to do a cost-benefit analysis. And a lot of attorneys will do that for you. They'll give you a cost-benefit analysis. If you have a complicated case, and by complicated, I mean there's going to be issues with child custody, child visitation, child support, spousal support, if there are properties or debts that need to be divided, any of that sort of stuff, I highly recommend that you have an attorney, at least for limited scope representation, which I mentioned before and we'll talk about later, just to help you with the more difficult parts.
Well, also things like pension plans.
Pension plans are notoriously difficult.
Business evaluations. In other words, let's say you were a contractor and you had this contracting business going before the marriage started, and then you were married for 3 years, and during that period, the business increased. So then that's a very complicated issue when it comes to how much the respondent or the petitioner has an interest in that business.
That's absolutely correct. And another one is you mentioned pensions, but it's not just pensions, it's disability too. I mean, I've had several cases come in already where the main issue is, okay, I was disabled, I had a CalPERS plan, maybe, you know, a policeman or something, I had a CalPERS plan, I was disabled before the marriage, I got married, and now I want a divorce. You know, how does that disability, how did it accrue, how do you divide it? And that's a very complicated issue, and if you don't do it correctly, you're going to end up with some problems.
Real property issues.
Real property issues are a classic example, and I got to tell you, that is one of those areas where attorney malpractice happens a lot, because a lot of attorneys don't realize how critical it is to make sure that property is taken care of right away. I mean, you have to be right on top of that. So if you have any houses or land or
rental properties.
If you have any kind of properties, you're going to need an attorney to help you with that, unless you're extremely astute and have some extra know-how in the legal field. You have to remember that not only do lawyers go to law school for many years, but especially in my practice, I have worked with real property cases. I've worked with a lot of different kinds of cases, so I have the ability to really look through and figure out what these issues are. A lot of other attorneys don't have that, or if you don't have a law degree yourself, you could get yourself into some big trouble and lose yourself a lot of money. And that's what I'm trying to say with the cost benefit analysis, is that it may cost you something to hire an attorney, but if an attorney can save you from losing $100,000, you know, come on,
it's worth it.
It's worth it. Or in the case, one of the cases I'm working on right now, they have over $100,000 in community debt. Both spouses were involved in this process where they accrued $100,000 in debt. So they're both responsible for it. And so they're trying to figure out how they're going to pay off this debt. And they come to me and I go, well, you know, since there's nothing else but this debt, there's no real property, maybe a bankruptcy is in order. So, you know, I get my bankruptcy experts in order, and we're going to have a meeting and figure out how I'm going to save them $125,000 by, you know, me charging them $2,000 and a bankruptcy attorney $2,500.
Now, if you have divorce questions or custody questions or questions about dissolution of marriage, people can call our office at 544-9006. And the first thing that they're going to encounter is a paralegal. A paralegal's going to ask certain questions
They'll ask you just the basics. And if I'm there and available, I'll pick up the phone myself and talk to you. If I'm not there and not available, she'll take the basics of your information. She'll pass it on to me, and I will get back to you within 24 hours if it's at all humanly possible. And if I don't get to you I will do it that personally. And then I will ask you some more questions over the phone to see if we have a right fit and see what I can do for you, see where you might need me, where you might not. And then if we need a personal consultation, I'll let you know. And if we don't, I'll let you know that too.
So we're talking today about dissolution of marriage. And if you have a question about that, you can give us a call at 636-1350, or you can give us a call down at the office at 544-9006 and ask for Rachel. Rachel Erickson. You'll probably start off talking to either Emily or Kelly and they'll ask you certain basic questions, and that's because we need to have some information in order to timely get back to you. So Rachel can field your questions about dissolution of marriage or any questions about family law at 544-9006. I'm Charlie Cochran with Rachel Erickson, and this is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.
Hi, this is Rachel Erickson from Kornblum Cochran, Erickson & Harbison. All attorneys think that they can represent auto accident victims, but not all can do it well. So the injured person needs representation that is personal, thorough, and well-versed in the law as it changes over time. You can count on all of these qualities in our attorneys and staff at Kornblum Cochran, Erickson & Harbison. Call us at 707-544-9006.
For more information, go to kcehlaw.com.
Here from the brand known for power, a new evolution in lawn care technology, the Steel Lightning Battery System. Now, get the performance of steel in battery-powered grass trimmers, chainsaws, blowers, and more, all for a surprisingly affordable price. Are you ready to get more done on a single charge? The Steel Lightning Battery System, coming soon to your local steel dealer. Learn more at steelbattery.com.
All right, people, let's start the meeting off with a round of quick-fire questions, shall we? Whoever gets the most correct answers gets tomorrow off. First question, what's the most efficient way to manage our expenses?
Concur.
How can you capture invoices electronically and manage approvals from anywhere?
Concur.
Last question, by switching to blank, we now have the tools that give us full visibility into company spending, which helps our bottom line.
Concur.
Bob, very impressive. You get tomorrow off.
But tomorrow's Saturday.
You get tomorrow off, Bob.
Thank you.
Expense, travel, invoice. Learn more at concur.com.
Lawmakers in Texas.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from noon to 12:30. Rachel and I come in and talk about some aspect of the law. And as we've talked about, Rachel is now taking family law cases. So if you have a question about family law, give Rachel a call down at the office at 544-9006. Now, Rachel, we were talking about the divorce process, and you mentioned, first of all, a petition that's filed.
Yeah, you have a few forms that you have to fill out, and then you have to also have blank forms that you're going to serve on the respondent. That's your spouse or your domestic partner. And when I mean serve, that is a technical term. That's a term of art in the law that means that somebody who's 18 or older and not you has to take those papers and give them to your soon-to-be ex, you hope. And once those are given, that person fills out what's called a proof of service, and they file that, and then you can file that with the court. And that just shows that you've followed the procedure the way it's supposed to be. Then the person that you've served, that you've given your petition papers to, that person needs to respond, and they have to file responsive documents. So I'm going through this pretty quickly because it's a very complicated area of the law, family law is. Even the judges will tell you that. And it's really hard to get through a topic in a half hour. I really need many hours. So I'm going to kind of whip through this kind of quickly, and then we'll kind of go back and talk a little bit more in depth. So the respondent files his responsive declarations, and then you have to start in with filling out your financial declarations. And there's a couple of different ones that you have to fill out. You can go to the family law facilitator, self-help access center, or legal aid, and somebody will help you with those if you feel like you can't afford a lawyer to help you with those. I highly recommend that you have a lawyer to tell you what forms you need and how to fill them out and what the pitfalls are, because those financial documents are so tightly bound up in fiduciary duties that if you make a mistake, it can cause you to be held in contempt of court. And that will involve jail time or fees, fines, or, you know, you can get yourself into some big problems if you breach your fiduciary duty. And that's a whole radio show in and of itself. So you have to be really careful. And those you don't file with the court, you just file a declaration with the court that says that you've filled these out and you have given them to the other side. The other side has to fill out theirs. And what you're doing is you're saying, okay, here's what I understand our assets are, here's what I understand our debts are, here's what my monthly expenses are, and then you, that way you have a full disclosure of all the financial aspects of your community estate. Now, I want to make one thing abundantly clear. One of the most important things in any divorce dissolution case is what is the date of separation. So if you are unsure if you're completely separated, you better start making that clear as soon as you can, which if you're still, you can still be living together and be separated. That happens often, but you can't like go back and still be having intimacy with each other and think that the court's going to believe that you're legally separated. So if you're going to be separated, make it clear that you're separated and make sure that you know what that date is, because your lawyer's going to need it immediately. And that's how you're going to figure out who has what debt and who has what assets and how you're going to divide up the community estate.
Now, Rachel, let's say there's a disproportionate income between the petitioner and the respondent. Can you get the other side to pay your attorney's fees?
You can. The judge can order that. And it does happen. It's not, you know, it depends really on the disparity. It depends on the disparity of income, the disparity in education. You know, if one party maybe makes more, but the other one has the education and possibly the ability to make more money than they are, you know, there's a lot of factors that you have to put into that.
I'm thinking of the situation where there's a housewife or a house husband that stayed at home with the kids, and they don't have the kind of earning ability that the other side might have. Let's say the other side makes $100,000 plus a year, and you've been a housewife or a house husband. Can you get that other person to, can the court order that your attorney's fees be paid by the other spouse?
The short answer is yes. The longer answer, but still keeping it short, is that if you are, you know, an able-bodied, educated person, the court will say that you have the ability to make some income. Let's say you're only able to make minimum wage. The court will take into account the $100,000 and the minimum wage, and they'll try and make it fair. I mean, that the court does really try to make things fair financially. And really that's what the court is there to do, is to try and make things financially okay. They don't care, like you said earlier, no fault divorce. They don't care if somebody had an affair. They don't care, you know, if you hate each other. They don't care if so-and-so, one of you.
You didn't come to my mother's funeral.
Yeah, no, they don't care. They just want to know how much money you're making, how much money you can make, how many kids are there, how can we take care of the kids. Always, you know, what's in the best interest of the children if children are involved. So, okay, so that now back to where we were. The response is filed. At this point, a lot of times, once you've got your financial disclosures done and everybody's got them passed back and forth, a lot of times that's a good point to bring in a mediator. Even if you don't have your own attorneys, you can have what's called a neutral mediator, and you can go in with this mediator who can help you with the forms and help you try and work this out. And the problem that I see a lot of times with mediators, and I'm happy to do that, and I'm pretty good at it because I have a lot of mediation experience, but the problem I see happening a lot, why people end up coming to me as and needing a lawyer after a mediation, is that sometimes the mediator starts leaning a little too far towards one side or the other and not giving the right advice. I've had people come to me because the mediator didn't understand how the disability plan worked. It was a CalPERS situation, and they didn't understand how that worked. And so the mediator couldn't advise them on how that's supposed to be divided up. And so everything fell apart because they didn't understand that. I've had it come that, you know, somebody favored the wife way over the husband, and that's not right, and was giving the wife special advice. I'd had it the other way, where there was special advice to the husband. So you can do that, but if you feel like you're not getting a fair shake from your mediator, or your mediator doesn't know what they're talking about, then you might want to either select a different mediator, or you might want to get an attorney to help you. Okay, so once that's done, what you're ultimately trying to get is a judgment. You want a judgment. And if you have spousal support issues or child support or custody issues, even after you have a judgment and your case is done, you want that court to maintain jurisdiction. You do not want to waive jurisdiction, because you may need to modify that. The court's going to end up with an order, or several orders, and you're going to have a judgment. And then at some point, you may need to change that. Let's say, for example, you know, okay, you're both 35 and you both have jobs of $50,000 a year, and you split everything equally, everything's fine. And, you know, the kids, no, there's no child support because you're both sharing custody 50-50, no spousal support because you're both making the same kind of money. And then all of a sudden, one of you gets a job that pays $150,000 a year, and the kids are spending a little bit more time with the other spouse. You may need to modify that so that you get some child support. And so you need to keep jurisdiction with the court so that you can get a modification. And if you have been divorced and you have a judgment and circumstances have changed, you can go back in and ask for a modification. And for that, again, I think you're better off with an attorney who knows how to request a modification so that you can get what you need and what the kids need. Now, the biggest thing that I think it gets people into trouble is if you try to actually go to a court hearing without an attorney because you don't understand the rules of evidence. And that even most, I can't tell you how just shocking it is to me when I go to these meetings with, you know, attorneys and we're listening to some lecture and then there are questions and how little most family lawyers understand the rules of evidence. Like the questions they ask are basic evidence questions. And I was talking to one the other day that was like talking to me about, you know, well, I was trying to get this into evidence and I don't understand why the judge wouldn't let me have it in. And it was just like, you've got to be kidding me. So you can't just throw something up there and say, oh, why doesn't the court look at it?
I would say that's one of the advantages that you have over a lot of family lawyers, which is that you've actually been in the civil court system for about 15 years and you do understand how to litigate.
Yeah, and you need to know, I mean, some of these things require evidence. They require evidence. And if you don't know how to present evidence, you're not going to get it heard by the judge, and then they're going to dismiss it. So you might, even if, I said I was going to get to limited scope representation, and we're running out of time, so I think what I'm going to just say about that is that you can do an unbundling or have an attorney just for a particular matter. Let's say you've been able to do your petition and your response and the financial documents, but now a hearing is coming up and you need some help to get some evidence put together, but you don't know what evidence. You go to an attorney, you give them a call and say, hey, look, I've got a hearing coming up, I need help. You go into that attorney, you come up with an agreement, and you're going to make this agreement very specific. Very specific, exactly what the matter is, what the fee arrangement is, how far the attorney is going to go. And because the thing is you're going to be responsible for everything except for what you've agreed the attorney is going to handle. So everything else, the attorney is not your attorney for anything else. So if you make a mistake, that's on you. It's not on the attorney. But the attorney will help you with that hearing. They can represent you at the hearing or even just help you get your evidence together so you can go to the hearing. But if you go to the hearing, the attorney's not responsible for any mistakes you make. So you can go for a limited purpose. And I think that that's a very effective way if you have limited funds and you're pretty smart and, you know, there's not a lot going on. That's a good way to at least get some help and handle it yourself in an effective and cost-effective manner. And I'm always looking at the cost-benefit analysis. I don't churn my files. I want to help you. And that's my goal.
Yes. So if you have legal questions about divorce or dissolution of marriage or dissolution of a relationship, domestic partners, etc., give Rachel Erickson a call down at 544-9006. That's 544-9006. I'm Charlie Cochran with Rachel Erickson, and this has been Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.